Hi, welcome back everyone. Another week of the Cantina. Just nicely timed as Kyle cracks a tinny there. But yeah, you're back listening to the Cantina again. We are kind of on week two at the moment of our sort of Mandalorian coverage, kind of running into season two. If you're wondering what the Cantina is, it is the Last Call podcast that we did before, which was basically it's Star Wars. It's me and Kyle in Star Wars, but we've just kind of rebranded it to the Cantina. Kyle, of course, is here with me again. Kyle Malone, say hello. Yeah. Kyle, of course, is the host of LRM Mornings, and we co-host this the Cantina. So this week, what we're going to be doing is looking at, last week we looked at Mandalorian Season 1, gave your thoughts about that, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And this week we are going into sort of anticipation, if you like, speculation land about what is we're going to see in Season 2. We know very little about the Mandalorian Season 2 in reality. We have heard a lot of rumours. We have had a lot of speculation over the last few months about what exactly is going to be in The Mandalorian Season 2. And we have our own theories, things that we think might come back from Season 1, etc., that we're going to talk about. So this is the perfect week to do it, because next week we will actually be covering the first episode of The Mandalorian Season 2, and we'll be getting into the proper, we'll know a little bit more by that point. But at the moment, we do know very little, Kyle. So what do we actually know? So if we take that first of all, and we take what we actually physically know about The Mandalorian,
I think we have to look at
stuff we've seen in the trailer, because obviously anything that's in the trailer is in the show, and things that stars themselves of the show or the showrunners have said about Season 2 that we can say, you know, this is definite, because most of it, even the high profile rumours, are just rumours at this point. They are unconfirmed by Lucasfilm. So
no matter how likely they are, based on everything that we do know, which helps out with a lot of the rumors,
of course,
we still have to regard those as rumors. But anyways,
because you just never know. But in terms of what we know very little, right? So we know that Moff Gideon is back this time. Yep. We have had quite a few interview pieces with
that Darksaber thing.
Yes, and of course he has the Darksaber. Obviously, it was pretty obvious at the end of Season 1 when he comes out of that TIE fighter. He's still alive. He's got the Darksaber, that there was more to this. So Giancarlo Esposito has been teasing a few things. So we know he's back. He'll probably have a bigger role than he did in Season 1. But again, being a villain role, if you like, we're not sure how often we will see Esposito in it yet. We don't know that, but he has teased that there's more to Moff Gideon, more to the Darksaber story, and some sort of connection between Gideon and, I think, the Force has been implied without directly ever being said. So that gives us food for thought. We know, obviously, what we've seen in the trailer. We know that the Mandalorian is on the hunt for Jedi. And that's a pretty obvious reason why. And to do that, he is also on the hunt for more Mandalorians. And we also know that, or we've got a pretty good idea of what kind of planets we're going to in Season 2, just from the trailer. Actually, Mike did a really good sort of breakdown of that when the first trailer hit out, just saying, here's all the planets, I think, that has been visited in this trailer. And I certainly am not going to argue with any of that. It all seemed pretty good evidence.
This seems legit. I can see it.
There's places like Ilum, Navarro seems to be back, and we know 100% we are definitely going back to Tatooine.
Yeah,
and we have confirmed that we have saw what appears to be, we don't know it 100%, but it certainly looks like Boba Fett's jetpack on the back of the Mandalorian's speeder bike in the last trailer, the sort of second to last trailer that we saw for it as well.
Not the special look,
the kind of previous one to that.
Yeah.
And we know Sasha Banks is in it because we saw her.
She's allegedly supposed to be Sabine.
Again, that's getting into it. I mean, there's a lot of fans still will not believe that. They're like, it's not, she's in it. We can't deny that because she showed up. Because at first it was like Sabine was going to be in it. It's going to be Sasha Banks. Yeah. So it is. Then Sasha Banks shows up in the trailer, 100%. And they say, okay, Sasha Banks is in it, but she's not going to be playing Sabine. And I think for a lot of fans, they feel that Sabine should be an Asian actress, which I can kind of get. I mean, in animation, you can never say 100%, but it would make sense, for example, if we're looking at Rebels, that Ezra was an Indian actor, or, you know, that kind of heritage, because that's kind of how Ezra looks in the show. I can kind of get why people think Sabine looks more Asian, but I'm not 100% on, you know, doggedly, yes, it must be an Asian actress that plays this role. I didn't look at it and say, that's an Asian character, and that kind of jumped out at me.
And it's the same way. It's Star Wars. There are no Asians. Earth does not exist.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, that's kind of true, but, you know, humans are the race in Star Animations, Wars.
To what you were saying about animation, Seth and I and Jammer have had conversations over video games, certain video game characters, and like who should play them if they're adapted and stuff like that. Yeah. And Jammer and Seth will always argue over whether or not Zelda is an Asian based property with Asian based characters, or it's a European, almost Norwegian, or
Tolkienistic fantasy,
Western fantasy.
Jammer and I have talked about and said it shouldn't be this, but most fantasy is based in that Western and mostly European, because America's the new world. You know, that was the next chapter, if you like, for us. So we tend to. You know, a lot of fantasies have that idea that Europe is the central place where everything's happening, and there usually is somewhere else west that they haven't discovered yet, aka America or some sort of new world. But it doesn't have to be like that. I mean, Jammer and I were talking about, you know, why there's not been enough fantasy that have dealt with sort of African backgrounds, you know.
Oh God,
considering where the human race began, you know, there's actually there's a lot of opportunity, and at one point every single human in the world was black, you know, and there was no white humans, and you know, it would be interesting for somebody to do something where, you know, everyone was just, you know, it was that very early human stuff.
People across the world has their own mythologies. Folk tales that are in addition to their
Mayans.
Not just mythology, but their religion too. I'll call it a religion to them. It's a religion, not a mythology. But
sometimes it is. Sometimes, it's still just stories. And, I mean,
yeah.
It's hard to call
the folk tales,
the Greek stuff, you know, religion now. It's mythology, you know. No one truly
believes in
Zeus
and
things like that. Yeah. But at the time, it was a religion.
I wouldn't call, like, Buddhism a mythology or anything like
No.
But anyways, I just wanted to clarify what I meant.
I suppose that kind of takes care of the sort of, I suppose, our views on Sabine, that we, I wouldn't have an issue if Sasha Banks is Sabine. I just wouldn't have an issue with it. Unless she's shit in the role, which I have no idea. Cause, you know, being that she's a wrestler and I do not watch wrestling, I have no idea what she's like as an actress.
Hey, look what the Rock's been able to do.
And other stellar people like Hulk Hogan before him. No, but even then, Hulk Hogan was
Hogan's movies, you think Bionic, Commando. Not Bionic Commando. Was it Bionic Commando?
I think I know the film you're on about, but I can't remember the name or like Universal.
Mr. Nanny. You think of all like. Hogan's films, other than maybe No Holds Barred and
wait a minute, you're not going to diss No Holds Barred here, are you? Because to me, that's his best one, because it's so bad.
No,
it's
I'm one not of
those
it.
Films.
I'm...
It's one of those films, No Holds Barred, where it's so bad that it's good, and it's very rare that Hollywood pulls that off. But when they do. They do it, do you know what I mean? And No Holds Barred's one of them where it is ridiculously awful. But you will laugh all the way through it, and you will have catchphrases at the end of it because it's that bad. It's
Suburban Commando.
Suburban Commando. That was it.
Yep. Mr. Nanny. Let's see here.
I mean, let's just face it. He wasn't that bad.
Yeah, right? He wasn't. He wasn't like the Rock. The Rock's actually shown himself to
the Rock's a good actor. Decent enough. You know, in the kind of roles he does, he's absolutely fine. Well, he's currently the world's highest paid actor, isn't he? So he's doing something right. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. So Sasha Banks could end up being the same and being the next.
She could be the female Rock for all we know. Yeah, that's absolutely possible. But until we see her in action, we just don't know. That's the point.
Nope.
So I guess from what we do know, then we don't know an awful lot. But when we start adding the rumors into play, some of these things that we do know start to make a little bit more sense, don't they? So if we get into the rumors side of things. I suppose the big one that came from the trades initially, and I know we've added to this stuff a lot from our own source, but we certainly were not the ones that broke that Ahsoka Tano was going to be in The Mandalorian, and that she is going to be played by Rosario Dawson. Now, as rumours go, this one seems a bit more than a rumour. Would you agree with me, Kyle? Considering the trades and was backed up by other trades and the fact that the actress never kind of denied it or anything, did she? She kind of almost, like, without confirming it, she kind of said, oh yeah, when that becomes confirmed, it would be cool. You know, the way she worded it to me was very much,
and
I'm not supposed to talk about it, but I absolutely am playing Ahsoka Tano.
She was still fairly young in Rebels. She was an adult, but still a young adult. So you think Dawson is pushing 50, if not already over 50. Sorry about that. That is,
you said you were going to turn that off.
And it goes off no matter what. No, I turned my phone down, but with the narcolepsy...
We have to feed Kylie's medication, or he starts to drool and dribble.
That one, so that alarm goes off no matter what. I forgot to silence it, knowing that we would be recording past this time. But anyway. She would be Dawson's. Like I said, she's easily in her 40s, pushing 50, if not above.
Yeah.
And
of course, that stage Ahsoka would be at this point.
Exactly.
I mean, we actually did see her, you know, at the end of Rebels. They have almost an after credit scene, which is set post Return of the Jedi, post the death of the Emperor and the fall of the Empire and everything like that. And Ahsoka... in terms of what we think she's doing, she says she's off to look for Ezra Bridger, who went missing at the start of the war, if you like, when he took Thrawn's ships away in hyperspace and nobody's seen them since, theoretically. And Sabine definitely
ripped her
was
out
going
of time
with her.
And shit like that.
You know, I didn't mind that aspect of the. I'm not keen on time travel in general within Star Wars.
Oh, God.
But I kind of didn't mind the whole thing with Ahsoka herself. But you know, I kind of hope they just don't go back to it. Leave that for animation. I don't want to see that in the live
maybe
action
if it's,
stuff.
Maybe if it was limited to some sort of location nexus, like with some extreme restrictions on it. Like the EU introduced late in the EU, Jason Solo learned, I think it was from the Jinsari. I might be wrong on who he learned it from, but throughout the galaxy, even in the canon, there's other Force users than Jedi and Sith. Even Kylo Ren himself is not technically a Sith. He's a dark side user, but he wasn't technically a Sith.
Yeah, I don't want to get into that, though, because that just pissed me off with the sequel trilogy. They can have a master and an apprentice in the dark side.
Yeah,
I know. It was okay. We don't have to explain anything because they're not hashtags Sith.
You have the Witches of Dathomir. They're canon.
They've been in the Clone Wars and Rebels as well.
Yep. So, and I have a wicked idea for a horror movie set on Dathomir, dealing with the witches.
You
and
can't have
Wars
a Star Wars
and,
horror movie.
We
you could have a kiddie horror movie, like a movie that's done to scare kids, but the adults not scary.
We could have a hard PG-13. Thriller,
PG-13.
Psychological horror movie set in the Star Wars universe.
Even
absolutely.
If it's PG-13, but kids all go to bed crying at night, it doesn't make money for Disney.
I don't care, dude. This movie would be made on like a $100 million budget. That's it, and that it's gonna make that back easily.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
So we get distracted sometimes.
Dawson does seem as if she's the right age to play the character. Does seem as if
right
she
age,
is playing the character.
A good good
it
actress.
Seems highly unlikely she's not. We have certainly heard that she is. We've also heard, we weren't the first to report this, but we heard initially that she might be getting her own series after she's appeared in The Mandalorian. And since then, we then heard, she is, but so is Ezra, so is Boba Fett, which we didn't know Boba Fett was in the show at that point. And we have since heard so is Cara Dune, and KRT then added on to that to say, we've heard about Cara Dune as well, but actually it's Cara and Bo-Katan. And that brings us
KRT
to another
Kessel Run. What's the T stand for again?
Kessel Run Transmissions, the guys that do their podcasts and stories.
Yep.
So, I mean, other than one point with them where, you know, we haven't heard about the animated Rebels sequel, and they have, and, you know, that was the only kind of time we've really had a disconnect. You know, a disconnect, because most of the time the rumors we hear are the ones they hear, and vice versa. I don't know about this Rebels animated series. I've got a funny feeling, and this is just a feeling, there's nothing that our source has told us or anything like that maybe that was the plan until Filoni got involved with The Mandalorian, realised Disney were then pushing for more live-action stuff, and I wonder if his move into live-action took that story into live-action with him. I don't know. They could do an animated series, even if it was limited, you know, that actually told the story up to, like, caught you up to The Mandalorian as well. That is possible, but if it was finished and it was all ready to go and all that sort of stuff, with Disney being so needy of content, if it was set before The Mandalorian, I don't see why they wouldn't just get it out there. I don't know. We're just going to have to wait and see on that one. But I think we can see that we've heard Ahsoka was in season two. We've heard Sabine was going to be in season two. We have heard that Bo-Katan Kryze, played by Katie Sackhoff, was going to be in season two. Sackhoff, Gina Carano, and the other one, Sasha Banks, all talking about working together before and kind of liking each other's tweets, which was weird. Then when we broke the story on the Gina Carano thing, Katie Sackhoff liked that. It wasn't our tweet she liked, but you know, a further kind of follow-up story. Yeah. But it was the one that connected from KRT that connected obviously Bo-Katan to it, which is all a bit strange. And then we have also heard that Temuera Morrison was 100% in The Mandalorian Season 2.
Didn't somebody say that for certain his source said he is...
His own agents over in, like, I think it's New Zealand he's from, his own agency has him listed as The Mandalorian Season 2. And listed as Boba Fett as well.
Okay, that's what it was.
We've also heard from KRT, they said that they've heard he's definitely playing Rex as well. And Rex would actually, be a lot older than Boba Fett would be, even though he's not actually older because of the aging process, obviously, that the clones went through compared to Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we see all the connections to these dots, which some of them we've mentioned. Sasha Banks shows up in the trailer. Mando is looking for Jedi.
The crystal planet where Kyber crystals were mined and Kyber crystals were selected for lightsabers. And
we have Boba Fett's armor. And then we have another rumour which ties Boba Fett in as well, and this one seems very, very solid also, that Timothy Olyphant is in The Mandalorian Season 2 and is playing the character... Oh, the name's just escaped me for a moment. Dude, can you help me out? What's his name again?
I have no idea.
Wait a minute.
Because
I'll have to look this up. This is silly. My brain's just went to sleep.
Look it up, because I really don't recall. I remember he was going to be in the show. I don't remember what the character was, but they were like, he's going to have Fett's armor, and part of the one episode's going to be Mando helping Fett get his armor back.
Because it's part of the story that was started in that Aftermath novel. So in terms of who reported that, it was THR that reported that he had joined The Mandalorian. So again, it's from a trade. That's the name Cobb Vanth, right? So Cobb Vanth in the Aftermath novel was a character who finds Boba Fett's armor after his funeral. Last time we officially saw Boba Fett, he was inside the Sarlacc's stomach getting burped upon. And he is apparently using Boba Fett's armor.
Slowly digested for, was it 100 years?
A thousand years. And he was acting as almost like a sheriff, using the armor and acting as a sheriff of a small town on Tatooine. That's canon. I mean, that's a canon character. Aftermath is 100% a canon book. It was written to kind of, in my opinion, badly connect the old trilogy to the new trilogy. There was just not enough going on there to do it.
Shittily. Road to the Force Awakens.
But you know how...
They're every fucking novel in the sequel, in the new canon, except maybe the Thrawn novels, which may be good, but they're inconsequential. Now, and all of the other novels, because Disney is so fucking scared of an idea or a character doing something, going through something, or having something happen to them, that they're like, oh, that would work better in a movie, we want to save it. So Disney's all scared, they don't let good shit go in their books.
We're looking at, if you look at old Star Wars, you had three movies, you had no TV shows. The only way to give fans more content was books, right? And that's what they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah.
But Lucas and really wasn't interested in the books, right? So he wasn't interested in them. And they did back and Disney into a corner about where they would have to go. And I'm not going to argue that the sequel trilogy is better than some of that stuff, because frankly, yeah. it wasn't. However, no. I wasn't as much of a fan of the... I liked the...
I know,
you know, like
know.
The X-Wing books were great because they were smaller stories. Yeah. They weren't big, this is what happened to the main characters. It's when they went down that path, I've quite often disagreed with those choices, but then also disagreed with the choices made by Abrams, Johnson, and then Abrams again for the sequel trilogy. My only hope is, but it's a different kind of hope I had from before, but for me, the prequels were the right idea executed very badly with the wrong people doing it, right? Whereas... Yeah, yeah. The sequel trilogy was executed well, but had pretty shitty ideas for me. Now,
it was a lot of fans, all different ideas.
Yeah, a lot of fans think that the Clone Wars cartoon, which I enjoyed, and Rebels actually make the prequel era and the links into the old trilogy a lot better, and I would agree with that. However, at the same time, when I put on The Phantom Menace or when I put on Attack of the Clones, I still see the bad acting, the rough special effects, the poor
shitty
dialogue.
Writing.
Yeah, all of that's still there, despite the Clone Wars being good. So I could go back and watch the Clone Wars again more readily than I would the actual movies themselves, which is kind of sad. I almost kind of hope that this whole universe that they're setting up, sort of post-Mandalorian timeline, helps us to get to a point where the sequel trilogies actually make a little bit more sense. But like...
nothing is ever going to make those
not
movies...
Not completely. You know, the whole idea to bring Palpatine back is that you're never going to fix that, right, to me.
Not the way
not
that
properly,
they did it. I mean, all they're going to do is borrow... from Dark Empire, make it a new book or a new comic line to explain
the Emperor's clone facilities. They might start explaining all that in this universe. You know, they could end up getting into all that. You know, you've got Moff Gideon wanting the child. Maybe he feels the only way for the Empire to continue in a new form is they need a Force user using it. Well, we'll get into this in a minute, but, you know, he wants the child. You have to imagine that there's maybe some connection there later on, further down the road, that connects to kind of what's actually been happening with Emperor. But I think we could get to the point where I like the story after the original trilogy more, but still don't like those three movies, you know, because they've got more time to tell a better story.
Yeah.
But the worry is, because the ideas were good for Lucas, but the execution was bad, I'm worried that that's not the case this time, and therefore they might not be able to go too far with painting themselves into a bit of a corner and really getting into all that stuff. So that's a worry.
Yeah.
So as rumours go, we've got Timothy Oliphant, we've got Katie Sackhoff, we've got Rosario Dawson, all these people are supposed to be showing up in the Mandalorian season 2.
All these Clone Wars
And Rebels characters.
Rebels characters.
Exactly.
Yep.
So
and all of the rumors that pretty much everybody that is in rumored to be in this show is also rumored to get either an individual or pairing type.
Well,
spin-off.
The new people anyway, the only existing...
Ezra Miller going to Thrawn.
I mean, Ezra's not even supposed to be in Mando Season 2. We've had no hint of that at all. So, you know, I would imagine that's something that comes a little bit later on. That's probably a bit further behind.
Maybe.
Like, they'll have to go looking for Ezra first before we... And then maybe we'll actually...
Yeah, that might
we'll,
be
we'll
the...
We'll find
the,
what happened. Yeah. You know, what was going on between Ezra, whoever he was.
I will say this. I think we can all guess where Ahsoka is going to show up at.
Are you talking about episode 5 by any chance?
Yep.
And why do we think that, Kim?
Because that's the one Dave Filoni's written, directed, yeah, right?
Absolutely.
Or no, just directing.
No, I think Favreau still wrote it. No, he wrote it.
Dave Filoni, he did both. Okay. Yeah. My printer's making noises. Sorry about that. I have no idea why it just started going off.
Your printer?
It's going off. I'm being haunted.
I don't even have a printer in my house. It's maybe doing one of those automatic clean things where it's, you know, it's...
No, it's not. This printer's 8 years old. I don't know. No, stop.
Well, see if it sends out messages saying, you know, like, red rum and stuff like that. Start to worry then. But if not,
it does have a little screen where it's got words, you know, so you know if you're like making a
black and white
kind of copy or something like that, like it starts saying kill your family.
Skynet,
like,
is shit, active. So this is all the kind of rumors around what we think and where things are going. What our sources said is that there's going to be a series of shows that are all connected into one narrative, and the analogy they used was, imagine Game of Thrones, where it was one story, but actually in Game of Thrones you've got five or six different threads that are running at the same time, and at the end they'll all come in together as one. But they really, I mean, like, Daenerys doesn't meet Jon Snow until the very the second last season of the show, you know. Yeah. That kind of thing. And that these series would all be kind of running off each other, but all playing in the same time zone, and there could therefore be chance for crossover stuff like that. I know you don't like the idea. I don't know. I mean, I watched, I was talking about this in Slack earlier on, like Stargate and how Stargate connected to Stargate Atlantis and Universe, and they all kind of were part of each other at the same time. And it can be, sometimes it was a little bit cheesy, don't get me wrong. But if it's done in the right way, with sort of Game of Thrones as a model, and they have an end goal, you know, a climax, I think you don't do something like this unless you have a climax planned where this could build up. So it's almost MCU building up to Avengers Endgame. It feels like there could be the opportunity for something like that with all these series.
Could be.
Not including, obviously, Cassian Andor. Or Obi-Wan, because we've been told those are limited one-off series being told on their own kind of thing.
Thank God.
But certainly these shows anyway. So we don't know. We have to wait and see. I know you hate it, but you know I'm prepared to kind of wait and see on that. But that's the way we think the future is, if you like.
Explain to the audience why I hate it, and because now we're getting into the part where me and you are guessing, thinking about what's
we've not specifically said anything about what we think is going to happen in season two yet, but you know we're we're leading up to that by saying here's what we think the future is, if you like. So yeah. Feel free to call.
I think this season unfortunately it is a cotton candy machine, and it's this season is designed to do one thing, spin around in circles really fast and spin off other shows, and I'm afraid that maybe Mando season 3 might be really awesome, but I'm afraid that Mando season 2 is going to suffer the burden of launching other shit.
Well, it's like Iron Man 2, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's like Iron Man 2 was almost that out of the MCU. It was the one where it was more about establishing the universe than it was about the actual story itself. So there's absolutely a risk there. Favreau, of course, did actually direct that movie, and he's showrunner on this. I would like to think he learnt a few lessons from that.
Maybe.
And that they will still be focused on a good story and character development within...
And he doesn't have as far as we know, Filoni... I'm saying it right? Filoni?
Yeah.
As far as we know, Filoni and Favreau are fairly autonomous with this and things connected. Now, that's not to say say Kennedy hasn't butted her head in, because she sure as fuck showed up on that Disney Plus roundtable discussion.
She's the president
behind the
scenes of Lucasfilm
thing.
So she ultimately greenlit the Mandalorian.
I understand.
Listen, I'm not a huge
it's
fan
like,
of Kennedy
it's like,
either,
but
rhetoric that a lot of the fans have that, you know, she's to blame for everything that was bad in Star Wars. Look, she ultimately chose J.J. Abrams, which to me was a mistake. That's the mistake she made. That was the second mistake that she made. The first mistake she made, which actually I think was Bob Iger more than her, was rushing into a sequel trilogy without a proper plan in mind. I think if they took a few years I would actually prefer they just didn't do a sequel trilogy at all and just started a new story. Don't get me wrong. Would have been the preference for me. But if you were determined to do 7, 8, and 9, you have to get it right. You have to think, right, how does this story end? You know, and you almost have to have the climax and you know, roughly in your head, not exactly how it's going to happen, and then kind of tell your story that goes towards that point for me. And I don't think they did that. I mean, well, we know they didn't do that.
Anyways,
we know they created a lot of this stuff just off the cuff.
We'll see. The point. I was trying to get at with the Iron Man 2 thing and Jon Favreau. He had a Kevin Feige who had his own plan.
True.
Who was like, yeah, you're gonna do your movie, but XYZ has to be in it. And Favreau being a team player and seeing what they were building up to, I think he did the best he could with fitting in X, Y, and Z, you know, that being said, he doesn't have, I don't think, Kennedy is very, very involved. Like I said, she showed up at the round table discussion and I was like, I don't remember ever even seeing set photos of you. Like, I saw set photos of George Lucas on Mandalorian, but I don't think I ever saw Kennedy. So, He's his own. He and Filoni are their own Feige, and that could potentially, I'm saying potentially, work out. But I'm just saddened that it might come at the expense of an entire season of a show that I really liked.
I don't know. I still think there's absolutely. I mean, one of the issues I had, as we talked about last week in The Mandalorian, was when they went off and did little stories on their own that weren't consequential in any way. If season 2 is more building one story as it goes along and introducing a lot of secondary, I think one of the issues Mandalorian season 1 had was they killed off some of the better secondary characters. So we're left at the end of Mandalorian season 1 with Mando, the child, obviously, the villain. We've got Greef Karga and we've got Cara Dune. Quill's dead, IG-11's dead, I suppose a lot of the guys he met in that prison episode are dead as well, as other than the Bill Burr character, who certainly is confirmed to be back in The Mandalorian season 2. So it kind of, I like that better when everything's building towards what, like, there's a story, a thread to kind of follow, and if there's more threads jumping off that in different directions, that, I mean, I'm a fan of Game of Thrones, I love that sort of stuff, so, you know, that kind of does appeal more to me. Whether it's good or not, I don't know. Whether it ruins the series or we lose focus, I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see on that. I don't think they'll show up that much. I think they'll just be in it a little bit. It'll just be a little tease, I think, and then building towards more in the future.
Maybe.
But I could be completely wrong on that front.
I do know one thing that gives me a little bit of comfort, and it's a bit of information that you shared on Slack. Everybody should know by the time this airs,
because
this is airing a couple days before the first episode hits, but it's first episode is almost an hour. It's 52 minutes, did you say?
Yep.
52 minutes, which means we've got about 48-ish, not counting opening and ending stuff, and they might even have a recap included in that time. So still might be a 45-minute episode.
But 45 minutes still better than what we were getting last year, because 45 minutes is traditionally your hour long when you add in your advert breaks and everything.
That's
like
an
that.
Hour TV show. Yeah, 45-ish
minutes. That tends to work for me, where they can tell a complete story from start
more
to end.
Story.
We talked about this last week. That was the issue with me in some of those middle episodes, with a kind of half hour, 30 plus minutes time frame. I just felt like sometimes it was 10 minutes too short to actually go anywhere and do anything. So I would like to see Mandalorian stick to around about that more 45 minute mark each episode.
Please,
but
yes.
I'm okay with some shorter ones if there's a reason for them to be shorter. But I hope it's not just like there's a standalone episode and it's just half an hour, you know, because that's the ones that actually you need to give a little bit more time to, I feel, sometimes. Whereas if you're doing a story that's built from one to another, if it's going to be an hour long, you could do that over two, you know, half-hour episodes or something like that. But hopefully, I do hope that it's tends to follow on the longer side than the shorter side, this side.
Hope so too.
Final thing then, Kel. So considering what we know and what's all been rumoured, what do you think's going to happen in The Mandalorian Season 2?
I think, like I said, it's going to be used to spin off other shows, but I think episode one, I think is going to be Mando out on his own searching, maybe even being on Ilum. But I don't know. I take that back because the I think he's gonna go probably after Mandalorians first to try to find clues as to what Jedi are, who they are, what they do, what they need, things like that. We might even hear Luke Skywalker's name dropped.
I mean, I'm absolutely fine with a Luke Skywalker name drop. You know, I mean, in a different universe, I'd love a cameo. You know what I mean? But I don't think I would like to see someone that wasn't Mark Hamill playing him.
Or CGI.
Although saying that, what if they later announced a Luke Skywalker Jedi Academy series or something like that, and they get somebody else to play Mark Hamill? I'd watch that. I would watch that. You know.
I don't know.
But
that search for Mandalorians, I think, is what's going to tie into the whole Boba Fett thing. Yeah. I think by episode three, I think that's when we're going to get the Ilum, the crystal planet, the ice planet that has the crystals inside of it. Mm-hmm.
And that's the planet
New Republic
that
is obviously after.
Just to, the Ilum planet that's got these crystals inside, that becomes the Starkiller later on, doesn't it, in the sequel trilogy?
That becomes Starkiller base, which is something that I had not known before. Like,
no,
I've seen
I
the
only
Force
found
Awakens,
that on Mike's
and I didn't know
coverage
that.
Of all the planets and what it means. That was the first time I'd heard that. But really, we should know that in the movies, but again, I don't want to just keep ragging on the movies, but that
whatever.
Is
anyways,
useful
information. So the fact that he's running away from the new Republic, I'm wondering if he does have an encounter with Luke Skywalker and the new Republic maybe wants the child. Now, I think that's a potential thread
you
see
an encounter with Luke Skywalker. Do you mean an actual physical Luke
Skywalker? No. Not on screen. I'm talking like like the episode before he's on his way to Coruscant or something to try to meet up with Luke Skywalker, and then like the beginning of the next episode is him running away and trying to escape, and then you learn about the meeting with Luke Skywalker, that type of thing. Cleverly done.
I don't think they go there yet. But yeah, I know.
I don't know. I don't know, but it's a possibility. But anyways, I think him trying to find something out in or around Coruscant and or Luke Skywalker, because of the old Jedi Temple, and Luke for obvious reasons. I think that's what sets the New Republic off on his tail, leads to Ilum. And then there, I think we're about the middle of the season, we'll have Ahsoka show up. We might hear the Ezra name drop. Might even have an episode where he helps her locate a new lead or something like that. The ending of this, what I'm expecting is originally when those rumors that Pedro Pascal had walked out and that he was no longer the Mandalorian, I was like, oh shit, season three, the Mandalorian becomes Boba Fett, basically, is what I thought. No. But then we learned that was not the case.
Just to be clear in that, you know, our sources we're not the only ones that said this by a long shot, by the way, but our source certainly told us there was the usual, sometimes in every single production, you know, the actors will disagree at some point with the showrunners. That absolutely happens all the time. That happened in this case. They resolved it during season two. Season three starts filming later this year. They are not recasting Pedro Pascal.
No. I think at the end of this, I think Mando has helped set some of these new characters off on their new direction. He's going to have a final showdown assisted by Bo, Kara, Grief, and himself, a final showdown with Karga. And
Gideon, do you mean maybe? Sorry, because Karga's with him now. Karga's in his side. Karga's, what'd you call
or
it?
Not Karga. I meant Gideon. Yeah. Gideon. He's going to have his final showdown with Gideon. I think Ahsoka shows up one last time at the very, very end. Maybe even coming in to save the day. But I think like the team that goes against him in the last episode is going to be Bo, Kara, Grief, and himself. And I think at the end
actually Ahsoka to turn up to save them, though, possibly.
Possibly, AKA and I think Ahsoka. Joke. Yeah, I think Ahsoka takes the
Esposito
child.
Esposito has
and
hinted
season
that
three is different.
Some lightsaber fighting in this, but that could be cool. Him just fighting with a lightsaber against people without one. That doesn't necessarily mean a duel, you know, because you know he never used those terms. So it's speculation. That's all. We don't know exactly, but. Yeah, I've got a funny feeling there could be an
that's what I think will happen.
Duel there, yeah. And what do you think is the aim of? You know, I'll get into what I think in a minute, which isn't farly different for you. Farly, that's a new word I've made up. Isn't very far from what you think. But what is Gideon's goal in all this?
I think Gideon is looking for a way to become a force. I like that theory that he's looking for a way to become more powerful in the Force, and or he's unaware that the Emperor is alive, knows that the Yoda species has a proclivity for the Force and wants to raise the baby, the child, to be a new emperor. I believe his end goal is one of the two. So either he's looking to use the child's blood, which I'm not going to say the word, and don't you dare say it on my show. he's going to use the child in some way to infuse himself with Force. Because he might already be sensitive, but not very powerful, or he's looking to raise the child to be a new puppet emperor, basically.
Well, on that aspect, I completely agree with that part of what you said, because I think that is the only two possibilities that I see. I lean more towards the trying to almost suck the force out the child and put it into himself.
Yep.
Just because,
but I think that's it.
But it doesn't necessarily mean it's possible either. Do you know what I mean? Just because he's trying to do it doesn't mean it's possible. So, you know, that wouldn't bother me. Like, if it became possible, I'd be a bit, I don't know if I like this. But the fact that he's trying it doesn't bother me, if that makes sense. And presumably it would result in the death of the subject. So I would say it's not something he'll ever get to properly try out for himself. Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely agree. That's Gideon's endgame, if you like. He's trying to kind of reestablish the Empire. He knows enough about what the Emperor was that he realises that there needs to be a Force user. It can't be a Jedi. The New Republic's Jedi on their side. I'm sure he knows about Luke Skywalker.
Luke.
There's no way he doesn't know about that. So he knows that they might, need to might have even know about
Leia. Her true lineage.
That might have come out by that point. It wouldn't need to be a secret anymore, would it? So I mean, whether he does know is a different question, because it may just never have come up. You know, Leia might not have run about saying, "Yes, I was Darth Vader's daughter," to everybody. You know, but certainly they wouldn't. It's not something they would have to keep a secret anymore. I could definitely see that being the way things are going. Even the idea of raising the child, you know, that doesn't worry me too much. The only issue would be I want to kind of know how long it takes for these kids, these Yoda-type kids, to actually grow up and be able to talk.
Me and Jammer had this discussion, because I said, okay, I broke it down. Down by math, Yoda dies roughly at the age of 900. Because in the movie he says,
"When 900 years old, look as good, you will not."
You will not. Yeah, exactly. We also know that in Empire he says, "For 800 years have I trained Jedi. My own counsel,
I kept on who should be."
Exactly. So we know that it took Yoda 100 years to become roughly 100 years to become a master. Now this creature is not
necessarily a master, because as we were kind of as we established
at least to get to the council,
you know. But to be fair, I mean, he could start off and within a few years get to a master. If you look at how long it took Obi-Wan, you know, when Yoda was so powerful, it's not inconceivable that actually from starting to learn to becoming a master isn't really a factor. That could just be five to ten years. It might not. You know?
It might not be 100 years, but I'm just.
But I know where you're getting
things
at.
Like nice and round.
The problem is at the moment, the child's what, 50?
50.
So it's between now to be 50. And 100. And, so that's 50 more years.
And 100, it has to become an adult
It is very easy to do, because this is an alien species that's never been explored much in the Star Wars galaxy.
So what they could have a very long
childhood and then a very quick adolescence.
What Jammer and I came up with as super puberty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you got a Jedi going through
slow puberty. For a human, but fast for a whatever species they are. I mean, let's say puberty for them lasts 10 years.
Like 16 months.
my only issue with that is, I mean, we're talking that the baby, it doesn't seem like a toddler even at this point, though. So we have childhood to go, you know. And that's the thing, because at the moment it seems like a baby. Children can talk and communicate, and surely...
Well, right now I would call it a toddler.
I would
say this thing's that hasn't like learned to three-ish. Speak yet. Yeah,
but maybe because like no one's taught
two,
it.
Three. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say I agree with you. A two or 3 year old that's maybe not had a great upbringing and therefore is a bit reluctant to start talking yet. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes.
Maybe he's never heard basic before. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we still don't know who the fuck was defending the child.
And that was something, this is something you forgot to talk about last week.
Yeah.
I mean, this does stick on me though, because why did they have it? Why were they just sitting there protecting it? You know, that this doesn't make much sense to me.
And the majority of them were the same species.
There's no way they were working for the Empire, because the Empire had to go and get a bounty hunter. But why could the Empire not just go in a force and get
take
themselves? Were they frightened of alerting the New Republic? So that's why they tried to... So there's more to that story, I think, to come out, I think, about where it came from. And I think at some point... I want to know this now. I didn't want to know it when it was just Yoda and Yaddle, right? But given the child now, I think we at some point need to
see... We need a species.
What are they called? Where do they come from? And why are they so rare, you know, as well? You know, because this is a galaxy, you know, that if they were an advanced civilization, which is clearly possible for them to be an advanced civilization... then people would know about them. So did something happen to them where they killed off and there was just a few left? There was like one family left. If there was so few of them left, would that mean that there's more likely to be some sort of relation between, even relatively distant since Yoda's for 900 years, you know, been kind of off, not involved with these species at all? It does seem possible that there's some sort of familial connection there as well.
Could be.
I don't know how
Yoda and Yaddle got it on.
Well, I'm not saying that. I think that would be very wrong. Because Yoda clearly doesn't really worry about stuff like that. He's got bigger fish to fry. You know, he's transcended those, you know.
Good, is it?
But, you know, at his age as well, you know what I mean? He's kind of, maybe he had a bit of that during his very quick adolescence, you know, in early adulthood. And in his species, like, that's the only time they procreate. And then they just get old and sit and get wise after that. Young ones, come, listen to my story. Birds, seagulls, hate those damn seagulls.
Oh god, the seagull thing.
But, you know, at some point, hilarious. As the Mandalorian gets on, we'll get in a season 3 and everything like that, we have to surely think that, you know, we're going to, the child's going to grow up a little bit, right? Would you say?
I don't think we're going to follow the child into season 3. I think the child's going to leave the Mandalorian with Ahsoka.
But then, that means they need to set up some other story for Mando to follow, I suppose. But
I don't know if they could do that, but I think that's what's going to happen. I might be completely wrong because yes, she is out looking for Ezra, but Ezra himself is also Jedi.
Yeah, and it seems so natural this that baby Ahsoka's being the best person other than Luke, to train this kid 100%. But would Mando let them just take him? I don't know. By that point, I think
it's his go find the Jedi
until
and
it's
deliver
time
the baby
to
the
let
Jedi.
Him walk away, and then you go, actually, I've changed my mind. This is my wee buddy, and I'm going to bring him up as a wee mini Mando
potential
bounty hunter. I don't know.
He asks, you know, can I train him, or can I keep him?
The child says no. Actually becomes Ooh, more sentient at that point and says
words.
They want to stay with Mando.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's all,
that
it's
would
a
be
heart-wrenching. I think there could be almost an end to it like that after the climax, something just a little bit almost twisty, if you want, you know, something that sets the scene for the way things are going to go forward for sure. Just quickly, because we kind of did go on for there, the only things I would disagree with, I think Boba Fett's going to be in this season a lot more than Ahsoka, Sabine, or anything else. I think Temuera Morrison's role as Boba might be quite lengthy.
I hate people that love Boba Fett.
No, but, you know, listen, that's because he's never had anything decent happen to him. You know, he's never really done enough to be a good character.
I know. They could actually make him an amazing character finally.
And if he's going to spin off into his own show, you know, that could be it could be important. Anyway, I think that, you know, the Tatooine plot, when Mando gets to Tatooine, he's going to somehow encounter Boba Fett, but Boba Fett is now in the hands of this Cobb Vanth guy. You said the theory that Boba Fett it was that killed that bounty hunter in season one. For whatever reason, maybe Boba Fett sets...
carries her off. He doesn't kill her. I think he carries her unconscious body off.
Mando could be sent to Cobb Vanth, I think, and I think that could go across a couple of episodes where he has to go... He's not a true Mandalorian, so Mando thinks he shouldn't get the armor. Has to get it back off him in some way, but, you know, maybe there's complications there. He gives that back to Boba. Boba then goes off to do whatever. I don't think he'll continue for the rest of the show, but maybe sets Mando up on the path or heading towards, you know, Mando knows about Luke Skywalker. Boba Fett 100% knows about Luke Skywalker because he fought him, you know, heard him tell Jabba everything about I'm Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight, blah blah blah. So he absolutely knows who that is. He knows Vader. He knows the Jedi. He doesn't like the Jedi in any way whatsoever. Let's face it, Boba Fett hates Jedi, because a Jedi killed his pappy.
That is the one. That is the one thing from the EU that I loved when they did use Boba Fett a bit more in some of the later stories, like the Vong invasion, and when Jason goes bad, they use Boba Fett a lot. There's a moment where he actually helps save Han and Leia's life, and as the Falcon. And Fett's new ship, I don't remember what it was called. Maybe he was back in Slave One. I don't know. But they have comms together. You know, Han and Fett talk. And Fett tells him, look, dude, it was never personal. You were just a job. I love that. However, I have this scary feeling... Because we've heard rumors of Solo, a Star Wars story connected shows that might come out in the future, especially featuring the underworld. I see this setup, and I see Boba Fett becoming. Obsessed with Han Solo instead of Jedi
I don't know, man. Two different eras here. So if they're going to continue on Solo, that's pre A New Hope. They're not going to do Solo stuff post Return of the Jedi. I don't think they will.
No. So but even having it go back and...
I think
and...
there could be a point where Boba Fett meets Solo... you know, a job for Jabba, something like that. He comes across Boba Fett, but there's nothing to, you know, it's just that kind of, I'm watching you kind of thing if you step out of line, you know. I think they could do that, but yeah, I wouldn't want to see them build up something that made it personal between them.
No, and I was saying the idea that potentially Boba Fett's show is actually a prequel show and deals with him going like, dealing with the underground stuff and his first hunt for Han and the legacy of the showdown between Han and Boba Fett.
Unless we picked up what our source said wrong, and I don't think we did, because they were pretty clear on this. I think the idea was Boba Fett was part of, and his show would be part of what's happening in this post-Return of the Jedi universe.
Okay.
Now, in terms of Boba Fett,
still, hopefully they make him good.
I would call Boba Fett a villain. I think he did some villainous things in the Clone Wars cartoon, but it was kind of like he was always influenced by other people and other kind of bad people, if you like. But I think the idea of Boba Fett is just like, he's like Mando episode 1 and episode 2 of season 1. You know, a job's a job, you know?
Yeah.
I think there is the opportunity to make him more of a... not an anti-hero, but a grey character in the world, and get even murkier with what happens with him than they can with Mando, because they're giving Mando a heart. You know, that was part of his growth. And in season one was, he's kind of this desire to do the right thing, which isn't really kind of where we start off seeing him in season one. But I don't see, I certainly don't want to ever see Boba Fett go down that path, but I also don't want him to just be a run-of-the-mill villain either. I just want to see him doing work, you know, and getting into adventures and shit, basically. Almost like we thought Mandalorian was just going to be, this bounty hunter out, kinda, and it's kind of not went that way. So that's the way I think he'll have a big part earlier on in the show, but I don't think he'll ever be on screen with, like, himself, Rex, or Ahsoka, or anything like that. I think that would be, you know, something where he'll kind of appear and
so
he'll be in it.
So think the Fett shit hits hard and fast, and then it's done.
I think so, and then we won't see him. Maybe he could show up later on, I don't know, but I am imagining, you know, maybe if he shows up, it would be momentarily, and then we won't see more of him until later on, until we see what we're... But there'll be somebody set him on a path of some kind. If they're going to spin him off to a show, it's not just going to be a cold. It's going to be a...
Well, I mean, that's obviously him getting his armor back.
Yeah, but I think he has to, can I say, he's off to do something. Whether it's just, you know, to find more work, rebuild his life, I don't know, you know, but off to kind of do something anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, other than that, the flow of the show, yeah, is I agree with you. That's the way I think it's going to go, for sure. We thought this would be like half an hour, 40 minutes this week, and we're like after... plus an hour already, you know that?
Yeah, a little over an hour. That's fine. I mean, we've a lot of stuff to talk about and think about.
This is the kind of stuff I found fun, speculation, really. You know, we work for LRM. We like piecing all the rumours together. And, you know, exactly. I don't want somebody to ever hand me a script. You know, I've occasionally read scripts for things before they come out, but usually properties I'm not too interested in. If someone said, you know, here is everything that, because there was stuff out there for Game of Thrones, I wouldn't look at it, you know, I wouldn't look at it, because I think that just spoils it. I don't want to know 100% what's going to happen. What I like is putting all the rumours together, and some of them will not happen. It's always the case, and trying to speculate, you know, what goes on. It's that just kind of, it's the part that drives your imagination, and then you get to the point where you watch it and you think, was it as good as what I thought it was going to be, or, you know, or am I going to be surprised and excited by things?
You get excited about the stuff that you get right, and then you get even more excited about the stuff that you didn't know
like
about.
Exactly, like I like to guess them, and then when they throw me for a six, I'm like, very well done, I didn't see that one coming, you know, and that's kind of what I'm hoping from season two. Almost like The Empire Strikes Back compared to A New Hope. I want to see it get maybe a little bit darker. I want to see the kind of universe expanded upon, the more secondary characters in it more often, and you know, and just build up what, you know, I want to know by the end of season two. What I want to know is, where is this going? Have a rough idea of where this is actually going, you know, and that could be finding out more.
And are we going to spend time in a connected era universe with these characters?
You want to know kind of roughly where things are going, but you just don't know how it's going to end. That's kind of what you're looking for, so that's what I'm hoping for. I guess we'll find out next week, so we'll be watching episode one of season two, all 52 minutes of it. Although I may skip the recap if there is one at the start, but we don't know if there is one. That could be on the 52 minutes.
You guys can listen to our recap instead.
Because we will be catching up with each other, obviously, to discuss what we thought about season one and just, you know, basically review it, I suppose, to talk about it. And then inevitably every week we will get any speculation, because as each week goes on and we get more information, that's going to drive our speculative minds, and we're going to get more and more targeted to where things are going as we move along, I suppose.
And the episodes are going to get longer too.
They could do, yeah. They could do,
because they're going to build on each other,
especially once we start getting to the kind of climax side of things. But we'll try and keep it down a little bit, you know, because we only have a 40, maybe a 45 minutes of story, we think, to kind of cover. So certainly not going to talk about every single thing that happens in that episode, but you know, we'll definitely be, you know, reviewing it, talking about the stuff that happened in it, what we liked, what we didn't like, and where we think it's going next. It'll be kind of how the format is that we do this.
And we're gonna I will let everyone know exactly the date of each episode's release. Cam and I are gonna do our best to get these out, these reviews out to you guys as quickly as possible, including potentially even the weekend, if at all possible. We're going to do our best.
You have the hard job. You have to put it all together at the end. I just need short and tall. Put it all together. So it's easier for me.
Yeah. send me a file. Close this shit out, man.
Alright.
I'm hungry.
See you later, guys. Speak to you next week. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, me. See you later on. Bye-bye.